This is the Old Trailblazer broadcast, and this is Pastor Albert Pendarvis, the Old Trailblazer, riding out on Old Dan and blazing the path to the hearts of sinners. Yes, the Old Trailblazer, pastor here, radio mission, where the gospel goes out on a regular basis. All of our services are broadcast now over the internet, our website, radiomissions.org. And we're here every day at the same time over the Trailblazer broadcast, Monday through Friday, bringing you another study from God's Word. I've been appreciating these messages. I hope you have. I've gotten letters from many folks, emails from folks, telling me how they appreciate these studies. You know, I think about it a lot. We have the ministry today, the clergy, as they call themselves. Most of our pastors now, I never hear them get down to where we live, to the old-fashioned, old-timey religion like we used to hear. And talking about the great old doctrines of God's Word, the doctrine of sovereignty of God, the total depravity of man, the soon coming of the Lord. Now, those things, I don't hear much talk about. I listen to radio preachers at night sometimes, and I hear them talking about, they have like a teaching ministry. They teach about where Noah's Ark was, and they teach about this, and they teach about that, and they go through a 30-minute broadcast, and they never mention that God saves sinners. They don't mention that man is a sinner by nature and that Christ came to seek and to save that which was lost. It's just a little skim of the gospel, I call it. Just a little soft soap, soft pedal thing, and I won't get into that. I'm not critical. I pray for those folks. When they go off the air, I pray for them. I say a silent prayer for them. Usually I'm laying on my bed at night, late at night, listening. So I just pray for them up one side and down the other of this country. And some of them I've met, but I don't go into that. But here we are back again Monday morning, bringing you another study from God's Word. And we've been here for several weeks now, about a couple of months. And we're coming down to the close, got another dozen studies on the second coming or the soon coming of our blessed Lord. And today, this morning, we're looking at the coming of the Christ and of the resurrection. Did I whet your appetite a little bit? First of all, let me give you my mailing address. It's the Old Trailblazer, Post Office Box 1810, Walker, Louisiana, 70785. And then a little bit about our ministry. Pastor Shelton was the founder and the mentor of our work, the pastor for 50, 60 years. And later on, Brother H.G. Gale was the pastor, and then myself. After Katrina, we moved out of New Orleans up here to Walker, Louisiana. So let's get back to our study. I like to spend as much time with the message as I possibly can. But as I said, we're looking at the second coming of Christ and the resurrection. And I've made the statement oftentimes that the doctrine of the second coming of Christ is interwoven with all other fundamental teaching of God's Word. And it surely is. The individual who counts the second coming of Christ as unimportant also has to deny or count unimportant all the other great teachings of God's Word. The second coming of Christ runs through the entire Bible and is interlaced and completely woven into the fabric of God's Word. It cannot be separated from the doctrine such as the sovereignty of God, the total depravity of the human heart, blood redemption, the new birth, and the resurrection without tearing, mutilating your entire Bible beyond recognition. When you count it unimportant, the second coming of Christ, you leave yourself open to speculation and put your own opinion above the verbally inspired Word of God and ultimately set your own opinion up against as your God, as an object of worship. Now, my friend, don't do that. Take God's Word as it is. That's what I do. I believe every jot, every tittle, every question mark, every comma, every semicolon was inspired by the Word of God. The Lord inspired those great old men of God to set down on paper and pen what He wanted them to say. I do. I believe that with all my heart. And it's a lot harder to deny it than it is to believe it. I believe it, my friend. Oftentimes here in my service, I hold my Bible up in my hand and I say, folks, this is God's Word. Believe it and be saved. Disbelieve it and be damned. I do. I do that quite often. Listen, we're looking at the second coming of Christ and the resurrection. I want to read 2 Thessalonians there in chapter 2 and verse 1. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him. Now, let me read that again. We don't often get it, do we? I don't. Oftentimes, when I'm hearing the pastor here or the preacher somewhere preaching, and they read the scriptures, I don't go to my Bible and follow it because I don't want to miss what he's saying. I can read it when I get home. I might make a note of what the scripture was. But he says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1, now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord and by our gathering together unto him. So many today teach and believe that the second coming of our Lord back to earth again affords no word for appeal either to the church or to the world. Isn't that awful? But to me, as I see it, the great doctrine and the great fact of our Lord coming back again is one of the greatest appeals to holy living and to true evangelism that we find in God's Word. And I want to affirm that the second coming of Christ is bound up in the resurrection of the dead in Christ. Now, I know the day and time we live in. I know what the Bible has been redone and redid and reworked. A lot of these smart alecks have done those things, and they leave off and they cut out. But, my friend, I believe the old King James Version of the Bible is the best we have that we can go to. When we speak of the dead in Christ, did it ever cross your mind that there could be no resurrection of the believing dead if our Lord did not come back to earth again? You get that? Did it ever cross your mind that there could be no resurrection of the believing dead if the Lord does not come back? Do you know that the individual who denies the second coming of Christ also denies the resurrection of the believer? Whether you knew that or not, you out there, skeptic, agnostic, you don't believe that the Lord's coming back. You don't believe it. You don't believe that you're going to rise from the dead either, do you? Oh, I pity you folks. I pity folks like that. Do you know that the individual who scoffingly says that the only coming of Christ we will ever know is when the believer dies? And do you know that that same individual says the only resurrection we will ever know is when the believer is saved? They spiritualize both of those great facts. But the Bible, God's Word, is too plain, my friend. Oh, my friend, do you have a good Bible? Good sound King James Version Bible. We here at our radio Bible and bookstore, we only sell the King James Version. And we discount them heavily to our folks. If you write, I'll send you a catalog of all of them we have ever price range that you can imagine, ever binding that you can imagine. But they're all King James Version Bibles. And I'd be glad to send you a catalog if you'd like to have one. Maybe one to give to your pastor, my friend. When we speak of the dead in Christ, it bids us to go back to the hour in the very beginning when the faith of men and women looked down through the ages to the cross. The resurrection and the coming of Christ in all his glory, and embraced the promises, believed them, and then died in hope. You know, the scripture says, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for salvation. It was accounted to him. He believed God. Did you know you can't be saved without believing God's Word? No. You don't believe God's Word, you never will be saved. No, sir, you don't. You know, I tell my folks here, if you don't hear God's Word, you won't never be saved. Why? Because you won't never see. The Holy Spirit uses the Word of God to awaken a soul, to shine the light of the gospel into that heart. That's what he uses, my friend. The scripture says, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. But you never hear the truth. You won't ever be saved. No, my friend, listen. All of those died in hope. Listen, through century after century, the believer died in Christ. They died in hope. And every one of them will be raised in his order, according to 1 Corinthians 15:20. Now listen. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection from the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order. Yes, yes, listen, folks. They shall rise again, everyone in his own order. We looked at that a little earlier, like a military term, or their company, or their platoon, or their battalion, everyone in his own company. That means from the first man, Adam, until the last individual who is saved. Someone asked this old preacher that we used to know, when would the Lord come? He said, when the last individual comes to die. When that last individual that's saved goes to be with the Lord, then the Lord will come back for his own. Now, that's not hard to believe, is it? No, my friend. From the first man, Adam, until the last individual. You don't know who that individual is, nor do I know. But listen, in the resurrection, every individual shall arise in his own company. Oh, my friend, I know exactly what the apostle is talking about. In the military, I was in the military, and we had companies, we had platoons, we had divisions, we had different ways of marching and of forming assemblies and all those things. That's just ways he's putting it down where we can live, where we can understand it. Every man in his own order, and it won't be no confusion there. No, won't be no confusion. I just tell you, folks, the Lord is good, isn't he? The Lord is, you know, the Lord knows all about everything. But we're going to look back. We're going to go back in this study tomorrow and go a little deeper into this. But I wish you would call over the back fence in the morning, tomorrow morning, and tell the folks, come on over and get some coffee and let's listen to the old trailblazer, old Pendarvis over there. I have a lady call me and said, I get up at 4 o'clock in the morning, trailblazer, and listen to you. So I don't want her to call over her back fence. Might make somebody angry. But my friend, let's just be down to earth. Let me ask you a question. You know the Lord? Are you saved? Is that embarrassing for me to ask you, are you saved? Or does that make you mad and you slam the door and go outside because I asked you? Has your pastor ever asked you, are you saved? Oh, I ask my folks here all the time. My friend, have you made your calling and election sure? That's what Apostle Peter tells us to do. What does that mean? It means, can you go back to the time and the place when you were lost and knew it and begin to seek the Lord by his grace and come to see yourself as a lost sinner, hopeless and helpless and unsaved and unable to save yourself? Have you ever done that? If you hadn't, you're not saved. Oh, my friend, the old trailblazer is going to be true to you, honest with you, kindly and gently. And I love folks. I love my people. I have people all over the world whom I've never met, but I love them. I have a friend in London, England, calls me quite often, and we talk about the Lord. Oh, my friend. But the old trailblazer is going to be true to you. Would you call over the fence now, tell the folks next door and behind you, tune in tomorrow to Old Trailblazer. My mailing address is Old Trailblazer, Post Office Box 1810, Walker, Louisiana, 70785. Goodbye.